Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. Welcome back. I'm Coach Lizzie. If you were on the weight loss call earlier, hello again. Yeah, welcome to, glad to see you again. Welcome. And if you are attending the maintenance call, that's what this is, the maintenance call for the first time today or ever, welcome. So glad you're here. You do not have to be in maintenance to attend the maintenance. Well, maintenance? That's like weight loss and maintenance smushed together. The maintenance call. Maybe I need more water. You do not have to be in maintenance to be on the maintenance call or to even ask a question on the maintenance call. If you're like, I don't even have maintenance in my, windshield, that's okay. You can still ask a question because I want to help you get to maintenance and help you start thinking like a maintainer now as you're losing the weight. So, how you doing? This is a live coaching call, so please raise your hand for coaching. Debbie is 5 pounds away from maintenance. I'm right on. Yes. Julie's here to catch the second show. Thank you, Julie. I appreciate it. So glad you're here. And hi from Spain, from Anne. Hello. Wow, we got everybody from Spain. Fantastic. So, couple of quick things. If you were either on my weight loss coaching call earlier, the weightness, that's a new word, y'all, weightness. If you were on the weight loss call earlier today, or if you listened to MJ's replay from Wednesday, you have perhaps have heard something exciting coming along the pipe. If you haven't heard yet, I am so happy to tell you that there is a never before seen, one of a kind bonus for signing up for camp. Camp? 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 Yeah, Camp Unstoppable coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, September 12th and 13th. It's coming up. If you have already bought your ticket in person or virtual, you already get this bonus. It's already yours. If you're like, I've been thinking about camp, I'm on the fence, you want to hear about this. And if you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about, what is camp? Camp is our in-person event. And by the way, if you don't even know what camp is, that's okay. But maybe you've been living under a rock like I tend to do. That's how I am with the news. I'm like, I don't know. I don't pay attention. That's okay. So it's our in-person event. And y'all, there's just something different about being in person. You can feel the energy. You, first of all, I remember the first camp I ever went to. Corinne has this amazing, pump up music that she walks into. I don't, I can't remember the name of it, but it's just, you get so fired up and you're like, oh my God, it's Corinne. The first time I definitely was a little starstruck. And I'm totally not at all starstruck anymore. Nope. Just kidding. But it's fun. It is amazing to get to see people in person. You give people hugs. You get a chance to talk to other No BS women, to us coaches, to MJ, to Kathy, Lisa, Christy, Betsy, me, real people. Yes. And all that. And the content of this year's camp is special. It's about being unstoppable. It's about, we all want to lose weight. Yes. And you all are either in maintenance, close to maintenance, thinking about maintenance. So this is even more your cup of tea, your wheelhouse, because it's like, I have spent the last fill in the blank number of years, decades, et cetera, trying to lose weight. And now, well, now what? Right? Now let's think about being unstoppable. Let's think about what is the life you wanted to lose weight for, and let's fucking go after it. Let's do it. And there are legit reasons, legit obstacles that get in the way for why that may have been hard in the past. And that's what we're going to talk about, where your brain gets you stuck, how to move through those obstacles, and how to set your goals and shoot you forward into the next year, 5 years, et cetera, to get that goal. Whether it's to write a book, start a business, volunteer, help a kid learn to read, play the flute, walk around the block without pain. Any goal is valid because it's yours. It's not cute. It's not fluffy. It's not, oh, that thing I wanted to do once. You have a goal. Your heart is singing to you. It matters. That's what this camp is about. And I'm so fired up for it. So, it was a long preamble to the bonus that if You sign up for camp. Corinne's doing a new bonus that you will get a one-on-one with Corinne access to her. That is like an Ask Coaches feature, but it is specific to Corinne, one-on-one with Corinne. She is the only person that is answering these questions. So if you ever wanted to say, like, I've got this thing, and I want to get Corinne's eyes on it, or I wonder how Corinne would respond to my unique challenge. This is your chance. One-on-one with Corinne, back and forth in Ask Coaches. This is MJ's not answering these questions. I'm not answering these questions. Kathy, Christy, only Corinne. And so you can have this amazing resource for 6 full weeks if you go ahead and sign up. It opens Tuesday. Like if you sign up today, if you've already signed up for camp, if you sign up for camp today, it opens Tuesday. You have from Tuesday until September 7th to talk one-on-one with Corinne via this Ask Coaches features. It's the one-on-one with Corinne. If you wait a week, if you're still not sure, then you only have 5 weeks to talk to Corinne. If you wait past August 12th, you miss this altogether because the last day to sign up for this feature and get the bonus is August 12th. It will close, so you've got this opportunity to talk to Corinne. It will close September 7th. So that's the week before camp because she's got to have some time to get ready and all that jazz. But this is a pretty cool bonus. So if you've been thinking about it, Nancy just signed up for virtual yesterday. Awesome, Nancy. High five. Hey, Cindy. Nice to see you. So wanted to make you aware of that. And another thing I wanted to make you aware of is I happen to have a spot or two open in private coaching. And if you're here thinking about maintenance and you're like, how do I do this maintenance thing? Hey, maybe we could talk. Consider private coaching because I think about that a lot. So that's a thought as well. So once again, this is live coaching. So I would love for you to raise your hand. We got 68 of you here. So I know at least somebody's got some kind of a question because a minute ago, I raised a point that I bet one or two of you have thought to yourself, which is, who am I if I'm not trying to lose weight? Have you got that sorted out? Are you totally good? Don't need any coaching on that? Because if you are like, well, I kind of think, or like, I don't know, I've been a dieter for the last 6 decades. I don't know how to handle this. Maybe we could talk. That's an option. Another thing we could talk about is like, what does it even mean to be a normal eater? Because a lot of us sort of glorify those people, the normal eaters, but like, what really is that about? Like, how do they think? And maybe you're not that far away. So I love it. So we've got some people have raised their hands. Great. So we got Ellen and Judith. Let's go. Let's go, right? Great. Oh, and I need a big. Thank you for everybody in the chat. Here we go. Ellen is coming, I think, on. We'll see. Did I do it right? Promote to panelists. There we go. All right, Ellen. Awesome. I'm so glad y'all are here. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Lizzie.
Great to see you today.
Thank you. This is funny because I'm trying to adjust this. In 6 years plus of being in OBS, I have done private coaching for a couple of months, and so done the Zoom thing, but have never been on a live coaching call. So this is the first.
Oh, well, thank you for
So,
allowing me to be the first.
well, thank you. This is really fun. And I went through the videos of the ladies, the women in the maintenance, that ending segment,
The
I've gone
documentary.
through those twice and
Yeah.
taken notes.
Great.
And it was really, really helpful. When I joined OBS 6 years ago, I lost probably close to 40 pounds after a really long period of stress eating and other things. I lost the weight and got down to 143. I'm 5'7". And then on a trip, and then it kind of came up a little bit on a trip. I gained 4 pounds and kind of went to pieces because I didn't know what I should have known, and what these ladies expressed, that it's a lifestyle. You don't just arrive and go, okay, now it's over, and I go back to whatever I wanted to do. And so I've kind of dithered around for a while and got up to 155. And now for the last 6 months, I've kind of been at 150, which is not bad. I mean, I look normal,
Right.
The problem, one of the irritations is that I'm between two sizes. So, a 10 never really fits me perfect. It's a little too snug, and a 12 sometimes is too big. And so, I keep saying I would like to lose it, but I realize after listening again to the women yesterday, that I was really kind of careless about my overeats and making exceptions. And you talked about I've forgotten the phrase you used, but taking time off. Like last week I had two grandsons with us, so we had a lot more junk food in the house. And so if they were snacking, oh well, might as well myself. And so it was kind of one of those, let's put it on pause. And but thankfully, I mean, I'll maybe gain a half a pound, and I have evidence. You also talked about evidence that are a success, because this year we've had about 8 weeks of travel, and I haven't gained weight on travel. So,
Nice.
I've been really proud of myself for that. So it really shows that there has been a huge change in me, and I'm grateful for that. But I can't quite figure out why I'm saying that I want to lose like another 4 pounds, 5 pounds, but yet I just, oh well, we're going out, and there's no way I can not overeat because we're going out to this, or we've got company. And so, and I journaled. I mean, I took notes yesterday. I journaled this morning for a long
Wow.
time because I really all of a sudden wanted to figure out what it was, because when I started OBS, it was like it was hope against hope. Something's got to work, and so it was like I just thought, all right, I'll throw my lot in with no BS and see if it works. And it did. It did. And, it was easy. And now I'm like making these, I don't know if it's like a, somehow I think I have the confidence to say, I can manage this. I can manage 150, but I don't think I can manage 145 to 146.
Okay.
And I'm just not sure what there is.
Can you be a little more
What
specific when you say, I'm just not sure what there is?
what's the mental block in my
Okay.
mind?
Okay.
And and I even went through this morning and tried to figure out, okay, what's it going to take? And it's really not going to take much, because I've changed so many habits. I mean, I drink have oh, a glass or two of wine once a week, whereas I used to have it 6 or 7 days a week. And there are a lot of foods that I've cut out because they just don't taste that good to me. So many habits have changed. But I think what it's going to come down to is just tightening up a bit. And but
Oh, what an interesting word you just used. Tightening. How does that make you feel?
Well, maybe a little like it's going to be hard,
Oh,
and
interesting. Okay. So, first of all, Ellen, I'm so glad you're here and so glad you raised your hand. Like, already people in the chat are like, are we twins? So, I know that you raising your hand is helping a lot of people. And secondly, thank you for taking the time to watch the maintenance documentary. That anybody listening, that's what Ellen is referring to. It's the bottom of the maintenance course. And it is 12 no BS women who are in maintenance and just hearing their story and like what they thought maintenance was like, what it actually is like. It's amazing. Please go check it out. I put the link in the chat. So, Ellen, you are amazing in that you watched it, you took notes on it, and you're recognizing, Oh, maybe there was something in my thinking that, like, I got down to 143, I think you said, and maybe sort of secretly, like, you probably didn't verbalize this to yourself, but like, way in the back of your mind, you're like, all right, I've arrived. Now I can kind of relax a little. Okay.
Right.
And so then there's the travel. Impressive, by the way, eight trips and not gain weight. But there's the, grandsons are coming, like, we've got extra junk around, maybe I'll have some. And it's the things about maintenance is, like, your choices and your actions aren't necessarily different than what they were when you were losing weight. It's just why you choose them and the story you tell yourself about them is different. For example, let's take you had your grandsons last week.
Right.
So you could approach that week and be like, we're going to have extra junk in the house. That's the circumstance. I want to be able to eat it and enjoy it. And I know that the scale is going to be up and I'm choosing it and I'm okay. I like my reasons. Or you can say, I know that we're going to have extra stuff in the house. I could have it, but if I do, I'm the one with that stuff in my belly. Do I want that for myself? Yes or no? Either way, that's like a maintenance thinker. A dieter is like, we've got the kids here. There's going to be junk in the house. There's no way I can avoid it. Oh, well, I'll just worry about it later. That's a dieter. And again, like, diet thinking has been baked into us from, like, the time we could walk practically. So it's really normal, but it's just an opportunity, and you're doing it and all that journaling you've done to acknowledge, oh, maybe my thinking is what's getting in the way. Yes, the actual actions is a little bit of nibbles here and there, but the thinking about it is perhaps, this won't count, or I'll worry about it later, versus, oh no, it counts. Am I okay with that? And then any answer is okay. So when you say, I don't know what the mental block is between 150 and 145, after I just said that, what do you think the block might be?
Maybe just fear that I can't maintain it.
Okay.
And so why make myself too uncomfortable if it's not going to work anyway or last anyway? Somehow I have this thought that, with all the travel we've done and not gaining, that I can do the 150,
Yeah.
but I'm just not so sure about the 145,
So, first of all, that's a really awesome thought. Like that you like, I can do 150. Let's lean into that. And there's also something you're telling yourself about, like, it would take X, Y, and Z to stay at 140, and that feels scary. Does that, am I describing that correctly? Does that resonate or not so much?
Probably, yeah, it feels like deprivation,
Okay. Now, you can choose, because, like, your happy weight is n not necessarily your goal weight. It's the number on the scale plus the lifestyle you want to live. And so you may have a
Right.
lifestyle where you're like, I want to be able to eat junk food when the grandkids come over. And you can choose that and own it and be okay. And, like, all right, and that results in 150 and I'm good with it. That is, like, it's your life, it's your body, you can choose it. So what do you want to choose? The kind of extra wiggle room here and there and the 150? Or do you want to choose to tell yourself a different story about the wiggle room?
Well, I'm probably, I am coherent, or consistent, I probably should tell myself the story, get a better story about the wiggle room and the, I mean, I think about it. I mean, I've heard MJ say several times, oh, it's so close, it's just a few bites, and that's
She's
probably
right.
really all it is.
Yeah.
And, I've gotten a little sloppy about thinking I need, a sweet. Something sweet after, especially after dinner, and so, okay, maybe the sweet should be, could be fruit rather than chocolate.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe that's what I mean by tightening up. It's like I've gotten a little lax in my habits from when I was first in OBS. And
So
so,
I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate that perspective. And I wonder if we could, I don't want to lose the thought about like tightening up. So everybody remind me, I want to come circle back to the thought of being choosy. But before we do that, let's just ascertain, Ellen, like, do you really need to get down to 145? So what is different? What can you feel at 145 that you can't feel at 150?
Well, then I have more of a waist,
Okay.
and that the tans slacks will fit better and
Okay.
nicely, because I'd love that feeling of, I mean, after being 40 pounds more, close to 40 pounds more when I started them, yes, when I within 18 months or so or less, I was able to go into stores that I want, and it was like a miracle
Right.
putting on these smaller sizes and
Yeah.
not having to automatically go out and ask for the next size.
Yeah.
And I remember walking through a department store, and there was a big mirror, and I glanced and I thought, that's me. And tears came to my eyes because I thought, I'm thin. Again, I've been thin historically,
Okay.
years ago, but I mean, it was such a miraculous thing.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, I'm, it's really, yeah. I mean, I think physically I feel better when I have just, I
Okay.
can.
Okay.
It's
So
not health. I'm amazingly healthy, so it's not like I'm bad, having to deal with, some kind of diabetes or high blood pressure or cholesterol or anything like that. But it's more of how I want to feel in my clothes and
Okay.
feel, waist-wise and.
Great. And I always like to ask that question to just confirm that being 5 pounds less is something that you're, telling yourself a genuine story about. Like, I genuinely feel like I would feel differently in my body, in my clothes. It would make a measurable difference in my day-to-day life to be at 145 instead of 150 versus, well, I got there before, so I could do it again. It's like, why do we want to get there? And what is it that's different? So you can just be honest and clear with yourself about, is this truly something that would make a day-to-day difference in my life and worth some of the changes that I'm considering making to get there? So it sounds like you would genuinely feel better in your clothes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I thank you everyone for helping me remember choosy. So you mentioned dessert. So instead of thinking of it as like, oh, I gotta tighten up on dessert, what have you thought about it as being choosier about dessert or whatever the thing is or things that think that are the little extras here and there that you perhaps have said, eh, this won't matter, I'll worry about it later. Like, for example, let's use again the grandkids came over and there's junk in the house. Hypothetically, let's say there's four bags of chips and pretzels. You could look at them and be like, it's just here, so I'm gonna have it and think about it later. Or you could be like, the Doritos and the Lay's potato chips, they're gross. It's not for me. I really love the peanut filled pretzels. I'm gonna have those and I'm gonna do it intentionally. I'm gonna enjoy the hell out of them. And the other thing, I don't even know what that is. It's got puffy orange stuff on it. I don't need that. I'm making it up, but like, can you be choosier about those things that might be the little extras here and there? Sort of like Darlene wrote in the chat, like the velvet rope. So maybe we could walk through some of that specifically in your life. So, like, what do you think are the things that you previously were saying I need to tighten up on, and how can we shift that to being like just a little choosy about it?
Well, something sweet at night or after, even lunch. But I'm not, I don't, when I say at night, it's like when I finish dinner, I want to be able to have something sweet then, and then I don't go back and snack and eat later. That's not an issue.
Okay.
But so, and it, got to the point where it's been ice cream or Girl Scout cookies or, something like that, rather than I used to do just a little quarter square of Ghirardelli's chocolate and then
Okay.
have some fruit. And that's just, and that even when I was losing weight initially with no BS. So that's just one way I've gotten lax. And so that's kind of what I meant by tightening, tightening up.
Okay.
It's just kind it's
So
nothing
it
drastic, but it's.
that happens. Like we tend to, our brains are like, oh, we're going back to this habit. Great, let's go all in. That's really normal. But if you were to be choosy about the ice cream or the Girl Scout cookies, how would you orchestrate a week? Let's say, like you acknowledge part of your happy weight lifestyle is I have something sweet after dinner. But does it have to be ice cream and Girl Scout cookies every night? Like, how would you put together a week where you're choosy about the ice cream or the Girl Scout cookies versus the square of chocolate?
Probably do the dessert, a dessert on the weekend. When we tend to either go out or have people in, or just my husband and I eat a little, have a steak night with wine. That's my one night a week to have wine. But so might as well make it then, because I just don't have this. I mean, yeah, I think limiting it more,
Okay.
to and then.
So if I could offer you a thought that instead of I'm limiting myself, I'm restricting myself, or I'm tightening, I want to shift you to like I can choose it. I'm just choosing that I know this will have an outcome on the scale. It's not good or bad. It's just an outcome. And I want to balance the ice cream with the scale. And so I'm going to be intentional about when I have the ice cream or the Girl Scout cookies. But most of the time, my default is a square of chocolate. How doable does that sound?
Oh, that's doable.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah, because I'm s still getting what I want, but it's just, I mean, I'm getting that little urge satisfied, but it's not. Ice cream with chocolate sauce drizzled on it. It's not so indulgent, self-indulgent.
So that's the action. So you're still getting that sweet craving address, but perhaps not with the chocolate sauce and the ice cream. But also the thinking's a little different of like, I can have the ice cream, but I maybe don't want to have it every day based on the outcome on the scale. Again,
Right.
not good or bad, not moral. If you were cool with 150, you could choose it potentially every day. But you're saying 145 is demonstrably different in my experience day to day. And so I want to choose ice cream a little more intentionally rather than a little bit more on default.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that's gotten a little loose since you got to your lowest weight that you'd like us to kind of walk through?
The overeats, just getting casual with the overeats, and eating too fast. I realize that. I mean, when I sit down to dinner with my husband, it's pleasant, and there's no tension. And but I find myself just eating too fast, and then my, body and brain are off,
Sure.
And then sometimes it just, the old saying, it tastes so good,
Yeah. Yeah.
and I don't want to stop. And yet it's like, that doesn't serve me, I mean, because really the most pleasure comes from the first bites
Yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
So why am I thinking that? And of course, that's another question, hard to answer, but.
So What experiments have you done with either serving less or trying to leave bites intentionally?
Definitely serving less, and I look at what my husband normally eats if I portion it out, and then I'll serve myself, less than that, say a third to a half less than that. Leaving bites, I mean, I do tell myself, put it in the fridge for tomorrow. I mean, I had for lunch today leftovers from Friday night Thai takeout. So, they were good Friday night, but they were also good today. So,
And how doable is that when you tell yourself leave it for tomorrow? Is
it's doable as long as I tell my husband, gee, I'd like that tomorrow. So please
Right.
save it.
Put my name on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So I would give you a little game to try and play. So this happened to me last summer. I had a whole bunch of stuff going on, all good things, but lots and lots of things. I had a kid going to college for the first time. I had a renovation happening. I had a dog have surgery. It was just like, ha. And wouldn't you know it? My brain was like, this is stressful. Let's eat. And so I did. And I found myself above my maintenance range. And my brain did not like that. And so, it's September-ish and I'm feeling like a fraud weight loss coach. I'm like, here I am, not doing it. And I must have been like Coach Bessie or somebody mentioned, leaving bites behind. And I was like, hello, I could do that. And so I began to play a little game with myself of like, what if I just make it a game that at lunch and dinner, I'm going to try and leave two bites, maybe three. And so I just started playing a game and nothing really happened for 3 or 4 weeks. But by November, I was below my normal maintenance range. I was like at the lower end of my maintenance range. I was like, wow, all I did was play a game of leaving a couple bites. And then I did some math, and without getting into too much detail, basically, I realized over the course of a month, I saved like 27 meals. So when MJ says you're just a few bites away, she's not kidding. But if you do it consistently, is where it can really help. So I would encourage you, Ellen, to just like play the bites game. Give it some time. Like it's not gonna manifest itself on the scale next week. Give it 3 to 4 weeks and just play and see what happens. If there's a meal that you're like, oh my God, this is just gorgeous. I'm in like love with it. I'm gonna have it all. I'm gonna overeat and I like my reasons. Amazing. But most of the time, just see what happens. What do you think?
Sounds doable.
Okay.
And
All right. So again, you've got two action steps and like a higher level mindset shift. The action step for dessert is just we're gonna be a little choosy about some of the desserts that are more likely to lead to an uptick on the scale. With the overeats, you're gonna play a game. We're gonna treat it lightly. We're not tightening up. We're having fun with it, seeing if you can leave a couple bites. And also, there are definitely times where I'm, playing the game with myself and I want that last bite. And I just asked myself, okay, Lizzie, how much are you going to miss this bite in 3 minutes, 3 hours, 3 days? And as soon
True.
as I'm like that, I'm like, fine, I'm not going to miss it.
Right.
So that can be something to try. But the higher level thinking is it's less about tightening and restricting and more about you get to choose. It's, if you want to choose the lifestyle that leads to 150, great, love it. If you want to choose a lifestyle that leads to 145, great, choose that too. But do it kind of like with your eyes wide open rather than being like, I have to deprive myself.
Right.
And so you get to have whatever you want, just maybe not every day.
Yeah. Kind of like the wine. I get to have it,
There
but
you
not
go.
every day.
You could if you wanted to choose it, and it might lead to a different number on the scale, but you don't want to choose that. And so you've already kind of made that negotiation with yourself. So you know how to do this, you've already done it.
Right. Well, thank you. This has really been fun and very helpful, Lizzie. It's
Oh,
great
I'm
to
so
meet
glad.
you and talk
Thank you,
to you.
Ellen. Well, great to meet you. Thank you for raising your hand.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. That's really good. All right. We got Judith and then Zoom user who may be Wanda, which would be awesome. So we got Judith first. And in the meantime, I've got a Q&A, which is from Darlene. Y'all need to take a new picture of all of you coaches with MJ2. Picture is old. You all look different and so good now. Always get better later. Thank you, Darlene. Yes, we will see if we can get a picture of us. Susan said, how do you figure out your maintenance range? I'm almost 7 years old. I'm 5'8", currently 177, and I've lost over 100 pounds. Wow, Susan, amazing. You get to decide. So, kind of like I was talking to Ellen just a minute ago, that like your maintenance weight is, it's not necessarily what the BMI says, what the doctor says. It's like you get to be the expert on your body. And it is a combination of a number on a scale and a lifestyle you want to live. And so you're currently at 177. Are you living a lifestyle that you're like, I'm good with? I like it. If I were to get to 170, there are some things I would need to change that I'm just not okay with changing right now. That's fine. You can choose that. Basically, for me, like I got to a place where I got to around like 153-ish. And decided like the scale is not going anywhere, so I guess I'm here. And I decided to stop worrying about it. And like 6 months went by, and I was like, I think I might be willing to make this little change here. And just like I was talking with Ellen, the little changes add up if you're patient with them. And so with that little change, managed to get down to like 147. And then so now my ranges are in the 145, 6, 7 range. But like you get to decide based on the lifestyle you want and what you're willing to make tiny adjustments to or not. And certainly, if you want a little bit more help getting that more customized, please write in to Ask Coaches and we can kind of walk back and forth with you on that. So, hey, Judith, when you get a chance, please unmute and start your video. Oh, there you are. Oh, you are still muted though.
Okay, better.
Hi,
Hello.
better.
Okay,
Hello.
I'm fine. How are you?
Great, thanks.
I am outside waiting for my puppy's coach to show up, so I apologize. And if they do show up, they were supposed to be here already, so I'll just hand off very quickly. But
Okay.
the reason that I called in was I was fascinated by your question, "Who am I if I'm not?" when you started the call,
Yeah.
and my. I've had a few other calls and a few other coaching things with this from Ask Coaches. Like, who am I now that I am no longer Dennis's partner? My partner died on February 11th of 2025, and I've had other losses. Okay, I've lost, my parents have died. I have a brother who died. I'm no longer a mother of young children. They're adult children with children of their own. So I've experienced changes, and I know that I can survive this one too.
Okay.
However, this one's taken a little bit of time. So I think that I'm asking you for, okay, what are some of the questions to continue asking myself? How do I embrace this new person who I am that I'm not ready to be yet? And you would think a year and a half in I would, and I'm not.
Yeah. Well, first, I'm sorry for your loss. Thank you
Thank
for sharing
you.
that. Grief is not something that we check a box and like we're done. We could certainly talk more about that if that would be appropriate for you, but I want to also honor your question of like, how do I get to a place where I figure out who am I now?
And the grief thing, I do have to say for everyone, I have been involved in, and I'm still involved in a program called Grief Share. The grief things, I'm working through all that. And losing a partner is very different than losing, as with any death, it's always very different.
Yeah.
Each death is different. But yeah, so thank you. I'm okay in the grief world, like understanding it's not linear and.
Never.
It's going to come and go and all of those things. So that I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, how do I embrace this new person? 'Cause I'm having a tough time with it this time.
So again, it makes sense given the loss of a partner is different. Like you intertwined two lives together and you created one life, and that is different now. And so now you're in this liminal space, liminal meaning like in between. I am no longer Dennis's partner, but I'm not yet Judith,
Just me.
just me. And that can feel very unsettling, uncertain, and scary. But it also can be a time of opportunity. One of my mentors, Martha Beck, has a great analogy, and there's an article on it. If you give me a second, I will pull it up and put it into the chat while I'm talking, which is about like phases of change. And she uses the analogy of a butterfly, that you start with death. And it can be a literal death or a metaphorical death, like I lost a job, or my daughter got married, or I got divorced, something like that. And so I am putting this in the chat. And
Thank
Judith,
you.
if you don't catch the chat, write into Ask Coaches or support, and I will give you that link.
Okay, thank you.
So we think about a caterpillar has to die to become a butterfly. Like the life it knew as this elongated thing with a bunch of legs is no more. And so that's, you can honor that, death of that personality, that part of your life. And then it goes into this chrysalis, which it doesn't become a baby butterfly. It melts into goo. Like if you cut open a chrysalis, it's just goo. And so that's kind of what the death and rebirth is like. It feels like I'm falling apart. And I want you to know, like, that is normal. That is a normal part of this process, to feel like you're falling apart. And then butterflies are amazing, or caterpillars to butterflies. They have something called imago cells. I may be saying it wrong, but it sounds like imagine, or like image. These image cells, where like the image of the butterfly is in the cells of the caterpillar, but it has to melt into goo first for those cells to get activated. It's crazy. So the birth of who you are becoming is in you. It just has to go through this process of falling apart first. And it's hard and it's scary, and you can honor that.
And that
Need to
makes
go.
a lot of sense. No, let me just hand him off, if that's okay. If you'll keep
Yep, take your time.
explaining, if you'll keep explaining butterfly, because I'm getting it. I've got this. Like,
Cool.
I so like, yes, that's
Okay.
exactly how it feels. And I'm sorry, I'm on a coaching call. So I'm gonna hand him off to you here. Ready? I have to hand him off to you, and I will talk to you later. Sorry. Thank you.
Fine.
Okay, puppy has exchanged.
Marvelous. He was very deft.
Oh, and he did it without a lot of barking, which is really, really huge. So that was a good thing. But yes, so it does feel like that. So, and I guess, and I don't want to interrupt you where you were explaining, but okay, I
Sure.
get it where right now I'm kind of in the goo.
Perfect. Yep, exactly. You nailed it. Next phase, like, and the goo takes as long as it takes, but the next phase is phase two, which Martha Beck calls like dreaming and scheming, which is like, I have these little whispers of things I could do, who I could be, and then I get freaked out and I want to fall apart all over again. And that's a time to be really gentle with yourself and just acknowledge and like kind of play with it. That, like, think of it almost as a blank canvas. She mentions like sometimes she change your hair, move a piece of furniture, like a non-permanent kind of change that you can kind of scratch the itch, or like try a different sort of wardrobe style temporarily. You're just sort of figuring out, like, the caterpillar has no clue that there are wings in her future. She's just like, who the hell am I now? And so you're trying to figure it out, and like allow for some play, and also allow for some like re-snuggling in the cocoon of safety, that that's a normal sort of, you're going to go back and forth type of thing. Phase three is you've begun to be like, I'm getting a clearer picture. I think I want to volunteer, do this, be the, I don't know, on the board of the thing, whatever. And it's way harder than you thought. And that's normal. So that phase three is like, I have a little more direction. So in the butterfly analogy, the butterfly is now emerging from the chrysalis, but she's got to work her ass off to get out of that thing. It's hard. But what's amazing about the butterfly is that the harder she has to work to get out of the chrysalis, the stronger she is. Because scientists have seen, like, if you slice open a chrysalis and help the butterfly out, she can't fly
She can't fly.
because she didn't strengthen those muscles. And then phase four is, you are now flying as the butterfly. You figured out your thing. You've got your wings under you, and so forth. So that is a lovely metaphor for the messy transition, the very normal transition in phases of like death and rebirth, again, literal or metaphorical, to now I have figured it out. It is a very normal process and it can happen several times throughout your life. And that's part of the messy beautifulness of this life that we get to live.
It is. It is. Okay. It makes when I retired 3 years ago and retired early. And my son asked me before I retired, he said, "Do you have a plan? Do you know who you're going to be without your full-time job?" And I did. And that involved being the travel, Dennis's travel partner, and doing all of those things together. And then it was like, oh, now that plan's gone, So this makes a lot of sense to me. Thank you.
You're welcome. And like I said, Judith, if you can't access the chat,
I will ask through Ask Coaches. I'll ask them to hook me with you so you can send me
perfect.
that.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, and Martha Beck is amazing.
Isn't
She, I,
she?
oh my gosh, she's
Yeah.
just amazing. So, and so are you. Y'all are amazing. But thank you so very much. I hope you have a good day and a good rest of your calls.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it,
All
Judith.
righty.
Take
Bye bye.
care. Bye. Yeah, Martha Beck is amazing. She was, I have, fun fact, I have two life coaching certifications, and my first one was through her. I was telling my daughter this yesterday. In the weight loss call earlier, I read the quote from Merriam-Williamson, that we are more afraid of our light than our darkness. And, who are you to be, we ask, like, who am I to be gorgeous and fabulous? Well, who are you not to? Well, later on in the quote, she says, by illuminating, by being yourself, basically, and letting yourself shine, you give other people permission. And I'm not kidding. I was having this conversation with my daughter yesterday because if you listen to the other call, I took her shopping. That's a whole nother story. We're driving home and we're listening to podcasts. And so I turn on Martha Beck and I have her listen and she finishes and I pause it. And I'm like, you can see why I like her, right? My daughter's like, yeah, obviously. But then I said to my daughter, I was like, you know what's interesting? By Like Martha Beck is so interesting because she is brilliant. She's got like 3 degrees from Harvard, but she's so authentic. And she has had many different phases of change of death and rebirth, which is why she can teach it. But she's true to herself, and that's kind of like her whole brand. And by her, I remember so vividly watching some of her coaching calls. And at the end, God bless her, she finishes it with like, I love you all, mwah, 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 mwah. And at the time, I was like, I love that. How crazy that she can do that and just be so like cheesy and authentic. I was like, I'm cheesy, but I don't want to like show it because that's dangerous. Because, when we're truly fully ourselves, people will make fun of you and all that. And so, anyway, that was a long ramble. Martha Beck, by being herself, she's never even met me, gave me permission to step into who I am. And so, maybe by me being myself gives you permission to step into who you are. And maybe by you being yourself, you're giving somebody else in your life permission to be like, hey, I can be me too. All right. Waxing poetically here. We got Zoom user who may or may not be Wanda. We'll see. And if anyone is listening to the replay and you want the link to the Martha Beck Growing Your Wings article, just send me a note and ask coaches or into support@pnptribe.com. Hello. Wanda,
Hello.
great to see you.
So you kind of answered my question I had with the Q&A. Is my question was like I'm not in maintenance, so I just won't put that out there. I know, but you said I'm entitled to be on the call. I'm just I'm not.
Absolutely, bring it, all the
Yeah.
questions.
So I'm at the lowest weight that I've been in a very, very long time. The weight that I had in, my question was like, how do I decide a maintenance weight? As the weight that I had in my head was like 150, but I haven't been that weight, maybe when I, early 20s, and that was as a result of releasing weight, like probably really, really like grade school, when I was at that weight, so. And I don't know, maybe that might be a good weight for my height and my height, but I'm 62, soon to be 63 in December. So I don't know if that's a good weight for me. And I don't even know, if I could maintain that given all of the conversation that you said earlier about
maintaining the weight and everything. So I, at what point do you choose a maintenance weight?
I'm so glad you asked this question because this gives us a chance to kind of go through a customized conversation of like, how do I figure this out? So, like many of us, you have a number in your head of like, well, I used to weigh, oh, by the way, back when I was 20, which is like things are a little different now. And so it's useful to acknowledge to yourself, you've got this number in your head, but like, why? What is that based on? And is that a realistic weight that you want to aim for today? And so that's a good question to ask that do, is it even realistic to get down there? Do I want to? Is just my body and my life different now?
You know, I have a lot of excess skin, which I have now, which I'm okay with, but you know, that'll probably, you know, factor into something too.
Yeah, that's a great point. So how do I figure out my maintenance range from where I am now? So I would say you've got what your weight is now. You're at your lowest weight you've been in a while. I would check with your lifestyle. What are you doing in your life that you like and you can see yourself still doing 5 years from now? And what are you like still willing to adjust over time? And what is like a hard no? Like it's just, I love having the pancakes for brunch on Sunday, and that's it's just part of my life. Okay, great. You get to choose that. So is there anything when I say that, like what specifically is working for your lifestyle and what are things that you're like not willing to change?
I feel like I mean, I don't really count calories or points or anything like that. I track my food, but I use the 8 app, and you know, where I take pictures of my food, but I don't even do that 100% consistently. I might do it like let's say like 70, 60, 70% of tracking in that form. And I mean, I don't really put a whole lot of restrictions on myself as far as like what I eat, but I am like I want of course I want to continue to releasing the pounds, so I don't like indulge, like go crazy or binge or try not to do those things because I want to see the results. But I feel like I live a pretty good life right now. I am really active, and I feel like what in even the activity that I do, I don't feel like it's strenuous for me. You know, I work out like 2 hours to 3 hours a day, but I don't do strenuous things. I do things that I like, you know, doing. So I feel like I can continue doing that.
So, just give me context with what you're like. If you change nothing, are you currently still in a downward trend, or are you kind of plateauing? Where are you at the moment?
So right now, you know, I weigh every day, and I try to tell myself that I just mostly use it as data. I notice a pattern in my weight release that I'll like, you know, just lose like lately I've been like staying the same, or releasing very little, and then all of a sudden I have a big swoosh, and like you know, like 3 weeks ago I lost like in a matter of a day, 6 or 7 pounds, and that's kind of what happened this week. I had lost a little bit like the last couple of weeks, and then when I weighed in on Saturday at my Weight Watchers meeting, they said I was up 0.8, and then literally that's what I was just yesterday. Literally, when I got on the scale today, is down like almost 3 pounds. My weight right now, according to what I was yesterday at Weight Watchers, I was 229.4, but this morning my scale said 226.6.
So it sounds to me like what you're doing right now is currently having you in weight loss mode. So like if you changed nothing, your body would continue to get smaller until whatever amount of, calories and food you're bringing in is sort of balancing out the size of your body, the caloric energy needs for your body. That's not to say that like smaller body just means I need to keep eating less and less and less until I'm eating like a walnut and I'm done. Like there is, you still get to eat.
I
But
do have a little fear about that in the back of my mind, because I feel like, I mean, I feel like I eat, a pretty generous amount. And people say that, the smaller you get, the less you'll be able to eat and still lose weight or maintain weight. And I don't know if I want to eat a whole lot less than what I'm eating now.
Okay. And you get to choose that. And there is, think of it like Corinne once made this analogy I thought was great. Like, you put a certain amount of gas into an SUV because it's a larger car, it has a larger gas tank. You get a medium-sized car, smaller gas tank, less amount of gas. Compact car, lower still. And so if you're at a point where you're like, I like the volume I'm eating, at some point your body will sort of normalize towards to that level of intake. And that's great. And you can choose that and love it. Like, you get to decide, this is the lifestyle, this is the amount of food I like, and I want to keep it this way, and I'm okay with that.
I
If
love
you're
your analogies, by the way.
thank you. If you say, yeah, I really like the amount I eat, but I also really want to be less weight. Where is there some compromise? Then we kind of go back to what I was talking to Ellen about, and you could be like, could I play the three bites game? And I very intentionally treat it like a game because my brain can rebel with the best of them. I mean, I have so much experience of being like, this is the rule. And I'm like, really? Hold my beer. Watch me break right through it. You're gonna love this. So that is why I always try and treat things lightly, like an experiment, like a game, because if my brain's like anybody like yours, like, it will rebel against a rule, but it will be a little bit more open to what if we try this? So if you get to a place where your weight is no longer going down and you're like, well, I got to look at my lifestyle and see if there's something I'm willing to change. You look at the sort of the landscape of your lifestyle, whether it's the amount you're eating, whether it's the good, better, best of what you're eating, the healthify type of things, and you just say, what if I played a game with myself? And if I try to, let's just say, swap out the bread and the sandwich for a lettuce wrap once a week. Like, I don't know, I'm just making this up. But, so it's sort of the like, what if kinds of questions, and experiment and give it time. Like I said, the three bites game didn't really do much for about 3 weeks, but around week five and six, I started to notice some difference. So that's kind of where I would take it with that of like, how do I find my maintenance range? First of all, like, get to a point where like, I like what I'm eating and my body has stabilized. And then if you're like, all right, now we're at a bit of a stall, if you will, am I willing to ch change something up in my lifestyle, or am I willing to call this my maintenance range and be good with it? You get to decide. You get to be the expert on you.
Yeah, that sounds doable.
Cool.
Thank you so much. You're doing an awesome job.
Wanda, thank you.
Thank
And
you.
I get to see you
Yes.
in person in just a
Yes.
few weeks. Oh my goodness.
I don't think we ever met in person before. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm beyond excited. Can't wait.
Me too. I'm so looking forward to it. So
Thank
looking
you.
forward to camp. Well, thank you so much, Wanda. I appreciate you raising your hand, and it's great to see you today. Thank you. Bye. Oh, isn't she an inspiration? Right? You all are inspirations. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for joining me on this call today. And if you are at all interested in camp, go check it out. You get the Corinne bonus, the one-on-one. And like I said in the last call, you might have a cameo from yours truly speaking on stage, possibly. And I just appreciate each one of you. You got a gift to give, to share. And you know what it is? It's you. We need more you. Be as you can be. Mwah. Get out there. Have a great day.